For broadcasting or advertising opportunities, call 1-888-303-3884 or visit wildfireradio.com and click on Contacts.
You are listening to The Straight Shooters exclusively on Wildfire Radio. Subscribe to The Straight Shooters podcast on iTunes by visiting the iTunes Store and download every episode on wildfireradio.com. Now, here's Vaughn Johnson and Nick Picone bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, Shooters Radio Universe!
My name, of course, is Vaughn Johnson of Philly.com.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now.
What is your name?
Yeah, as always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You guys don't really know us like you think that you do.
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
You know that thing that they got now is Netflix and chill? It used to be a blockbuster night.
You're feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Maniacism.
Well, the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, pal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said, give me a hell yeah!
Oh, hell yeah! It is Friday, July 1st, 2016. Here on a holiday weekend. Hopefully, before you celebrate this holiday weekend, you're listening to episode 47 of The Straight Shooters here on Wildfire Radio. Listening to us live, hopefully, on the Catch Wildfire app. See, I mentioned it this time. No, yeah. The app isn't Catch Wildfire. The website's Catch Wildfire.
Yes.
But you can still listen to us on the Wildfire Radio app. I did that right, Taylor? Is that good? I got it right eventually. But yeah, holiday weekend, episode 47 of The Straight Shooters.
Did you say holiday weekend?
Yes, I did. I said it a couple times already. Wait. But my name, of course, first, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Vaughn Johnson of Philly.com. Joined as always. By my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone of Philly Voice and PhillyInfluencer.com. And we are here on the precipice of Independence Day, the most patriotic holiday of the year. 4th of July is Monday, and we got a little treat for you. Play it, Nick. Hit it, Nick. Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
Red, white, and blue, baby. You suck. You suck.
No, I don't. You remember when they bleeped that out?
They did?
Yeah.
I mean, like
2005.
Let it get to the...
Oh, what happened?
What did you do there?
I didn't do anything.
All right. Messing everything up over here. You're a terrible DJ. For real.
It's only 5:04. Come back.
Kurt Angle, where you at, baby? I need you back in WWE soon. And, of course, the Patriot Del Wilkes. Don't forget. This is his music, too.
It is. But he was the first to use it.
Yeah. This was his music. Yeah. This was the Patriot Del Wilkes music.
Because Lex never used it.
I don't think so. No. Oh, you can cut it off. Yeah. Patriotism. Got a lot of patriotic wrestlers from back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, of course, you got Kurt Angle. He's most famous for that theme music, but I believe the first one to use that was, of course, the Patriot Del Wilkes. Doesn't get much more patriotic than him, because he was the Patriot.
He was, in WCW and WWF.
Right, the Patriot Del Wilkes. So you had to say the full name. Don't say it any other way.
No.
Who else are we going to talk about as far as patriotic? I mean, we don't have to talk about American patriotism, too. We could talk about other countries.
That's true. Rusev.
Rusev.
Like right now.
Yeah, he's pretty patriotic. You know, he had his Russian flag. Does he have a Bulgarian flag now?
He used to, but now that you mentioned, I don't think he carries it around anymore. Yeah,
but he's still like from Bulgaria. Yeah. He has a lot in his, whatever, his color scheme. But, of course, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Ho! With an American
flag. Which, by the way, I watched.
2x4.
Yeah, I watched him and Yokozuna's like sumo type match on Superstars back in 93. Yeah.
Wow.
Just recently.
Yokozuna's pretty patriotic for a country
he
that he wasn't from.
No. Yeah. Well, you know, did we know that back then?
Not back then, but no. I just assumed he was a Japanese man with a really dark tan.
True, but
it couldn't speak a lick of Japanese.
With Fuji, obviously, you know, and Jim Cornette as his American spokesman.
Right. We believe, though. Yeah. I fell for it.
They did a good job.
And they called him Yokozuna, which is like the title, like the grand champion of like sumo wrestling. Is you're called a Yokozuna at that point. That's what you just called him. I was like, that's your name, pal.
Go figures.
Yeah.
Didn't know that one.
Yeah. Hmm. They didn't just come up with that out of thin air.
Hmm.
If you're like a grand champion of sumo wrestling, you're a Yokozuna.
This is probably why his name was Yokozuna.
Exactly. Even though he didn't sumo wrestle.
Mind blown right now.
I can't believe you didn't know that. You're like the connoisseur of like everything from like the worst period in WWF history.
I guess sumo wrestling is not my strong suit.
Oh, man. They used to come on like ESPN 2, like 1 o'clock.
I know, yeah. Yeah, but I never like got into it. And they had like, you know, Earthquake go against Yokozuna and the sumo wrestling.
I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm just talking about the real sumo wrestling.
I know,
Japan.
But you would think like, wow, like sumo wrestling at that age, maybe like, you know, you're still figuring out what your hobbies were, but nah.
It's pretty hard to get sumo wrestling as a hobby in the United States.
I know.
Like, it would come on like ESPN 2, like at 2 o'clock.
I liked it more in Austin Powers than anything.
All right. You're really disrespecting sumo wrestling fans now.
No, me personally, no. I'm not trying to.
I liked it better than Austin. That's like somebody saying about wrestling.
I liked it the most.
It's like somebody saying they love wrestling when it was like in The Waterboy as Captain Insano or like. Oh, I remember wrestling. I remember wrestling was in the first Spider-Man movie when he was wrestling in a cage against Bonesaw. Like, do you know that? That was not Bonesaw. That was Randy Savage. Shut up.
That's not where I was headed with it, but well, thank you.
We apologize to our sumo wrestling fans out there who was up with me at 2 o'clock in the morning watching on ESPN 2 when they were in Sumo Hall in Japan where there are still Japanese wrestling events to this day. We'll probably talk about one a little bit later. We will talk about one, actually.
Yeah.
But what's some more patriotic wrestlers we could talk about? We could talk about.
We have
Corporal Kirchner.
Yeah, I remember him.
that's digging way deep.
That is.
I skipped right over Sergeant Slaughter and got the girl. Corporal Kirchner. He doesn't get much more patriotic than Sergeant Slaughter.
Neither. Yeah, and the funny part is I never knew him as the American hero until, you know, the 92-93 when he turn face again, because I started watching when he was the Iraqi sympathizer, so I always thought he was like pro Iraqi sympathizer.
So you didn't know he was like G.I. Joe.
Not until obviously watching old stuff and, you know, his promos he wanted his country back again. I was like, what's he talking about?
And he still lives the gimmick.
Yeah,
we both can attest because we met him in person.
We did
at separate times, but we on the same day at separate times.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but he still lives the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Slaughter is a good dude. Who else?
I like that.
Remember La Resistance?
Yeah, I do. I unfortunately do. And when they added Rob Conway, you know, that was interesting. I dug it for a little bit, but then they did the same thing week after week. They never differentiated themselves from, you know, the rest of the guys.
There's some deep analysis about La Resistance here.
Yeah, yeah. I liked the name, and I liked everything about him. I was like, wow, this is like a nice up-and-coming tag team, but they don't really
I don't know why they called him La Resistance. That's like the female thing for like French. It should be Le Resistance.
Cool. I don't know.
L-E. I think it was La Resistance, right?
It was, yeah.
That's like the female, like, I don't know if it's a verb, or, you know, it's the female verbiage in French. It should be Le Resistance if you're talking about two men.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I'm okay with not looking that deep into it like you.
I took French in high school and college, and then one thing I learned, if there's only one thing, which is probably, the list is probably very short of things that I remember about taking French, I got like a C, so.
Well,
whatever.
I never took French, but I took Spanish and Italian, and I kind of get it. You know, like Allah equals female. Like, I get it.
Right, see? You know? So we're here. Yeah. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
So
Hulk Hogan.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Hulk Hogan, even though he hates black people.
Yeah. I was afraid to bring him up.
Apparently, according to that one video, he didn't like his daughter dating black guys.
But he carried the flag around a lot. He got, like, if he we're did. Talking about the patriotic guys,
I am a real white American. Fighting the rights of every white man. This racism is killing me inside.
I'm sorry, Vaughn. No, I didn't mean to bring him up.
That was a Dave Chappelle reference. It's not. I don't care. It's just poking fun. Hulk Hogan's still an all right guy, I guess. I don't think he's racist, whatever. He just had a bad moment.
Yeah.
It was stupid. He was very,
very
dumb.
Very stupid.
In that moment. So, remember they tried to make, like, Ultimate Warrior patriotic when he had, like, the red, white, and blue jacket in the paint?
Did they? It was just him, though, wasn't it? And Hogan at the time? I don't think any other faces dressed up, you know, in their red, white, and blue. I can't remember that.
I don't remember. But I remember that. How can we mention patriotism, not mention the Hart Foundation in 97?
Yeah. And we were just talking about 97 not too long ago, too. Yeah.
And then bringing out Canadian flags.
Which, I loved the nuances of that entire year when it was like U.S. versus Canada. And, you know, how mad I was when they would interview people from Canada talking bad about Americans. You know, I was, 12 years old at the time.
Then you love South Park when they used to make fun of Canadians.
Yeah. I was the guy like, ha! I used to sing Blame Canada in my head all the time.
They used to go, a boot. talking a boot. Yeah.
I think, you know, people used to make fun of British Bulldog when he would say that, you know, in promos like that. I caught on to that and I kind of laughed. I'm such a bad person. But
speaking of Hart Foundation, Natalia, she went full Owen Hart this week on the promo.
Yeah, she did.
She said, enough is enough and it's time for a change. I was like, go ahead, Natalia.
Yeah. That was definitely not a mistake. You know, that was, you know, hopefully she came up with that herself. You know,
waiting for the remember the funky music he had like in 98? Like it would be like the siren and it'd be like, enough is enough and it's time for change.
When he was with the caution outfit. Yeah. It was like
some funky techno.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Sorry,
you
microphone.
You should play that on there. That was some weird...
On this?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
Because we're not talking about the Bret Hart music from like 94, 95, when it was like a sort of a...
Right.
It sounded sort of like Bret Hart's music. We're not talking about that Owen Hart music, which was actually cool. I like that music. We're talking about the 98 music.
So I think I got it.
You think you got it?
I think.
You don't play some stupid stuff. This is live, pal.
Let's see.
Yeah, that's it. What is that? That don't fit Bret Owen Hart at all.
Come and take your best shot.
Owen Hart.
This is from Anthology.
I tried to be a nice guy.
Rest in peace, Owen Hart.
I tried to play by the rules.
He tried, man. He's not a nugget, neither.
No, he's not.
All right, that's enough. That music is so weird.
Miss you, Owen. Man, I love watching some of his old stuff.
Yeah, he's
it's such a great heel too to Bret, and then when they came back together as the Hart Foundation, it was like perfect.
Right,
and how he would go out of his way to, back up Bret after all those years, you know, of talking crap about him.
I just remember I watched this not that long ago when they were doing the Blue Blazer thing, and it sucks because you know how he met his untimely demise in the Blue Blazer gimmick.
Yeah,
but before they actually said like Owen Hart is a Blue Blazer. The whole thing was that, is he the Blue Blazer or not?
Yeah.
And Steve Blackman was like, I swear Owen Hart's a Blue Blazer. And it was like, well, maybe he is. And then he did a match, and the guy looked exactly like Blue Blazer. I don't know who they got to do it. I'll probably look it up.
Yeah.
But whoever that person was did everything exactly like Owen Hart. He even did the way he raised his arms. Like, that's Owen. Convinced me to this day. I'm like, that's Owen. And then Owen comes running down. I'm like, how the hell did they do that? And then he helped Blue Blazer win. And him and Blue Blazer runs away, and everybody's chanting Nugget at Owen Hart, and he runs away with his hands over his ears so he can't hear people calling him a Nugget. Yeah. That was
funny. Good stuff.
That was good stuff.
Obviously, like you said, unfortunate that he died in that gimmick, but the story was great.
Just the visual of him running away with his hands over his ears.
He's a grown man. Yeah, yeah.
Act like he can't hear you.
Yeah, and it's funny because he made the most of what he was given, you know. And
that was on heart.
Yeah, he did that like with every gimmick, I think.
Yeah, I mean he was what was the him and Coco Beware, was it High Energy or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, him,
and the new foundation.
Yeah, the new foundation. That was garbage. And then they finally flipped him heel.
Yeah.
And they got some good stuff out of him because he hated him and Bret Hart. That was great stuff.
It was. And you legitimately thought, like, as youngsters as we were, like, wow, they really do hate each other because the way they built that feud and how Brett was like, no, I don't want to fight him. I don't want to fight him. And then finally, you know, just snapped because when Owen, you know, turned on him, that was it.
Right.
Love that.
Yeah. So patriotism, everybody.
Yeah.
Enjoy the
Happy
weekend.
4th of July.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend. We'll be enjoying it right after we get off the air in some capacity.
yep.
But for this week's show, we've kind of, you know, nothing really super major happened. So we kind of cobbled together a bunch of things to talk about. I mean, first and foremost, I guess we could talk about Roman Reigns staying in the main event of Battleground.
Yeah, kind of surprising, but
not to me.
No, like, see why.
I mean,
they didn't take him out.
They announced it.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be kind of, I mean, well, I guess since they did address the suspension on TV, they could have taken him out and said, hey, this is the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. And so it's happening at Battleground. I understand why it's happening at Battleground, because they got the draft. Now's the time to do it. The suspension could have been a reason for it not to happen, but like I said, you already announced the show. You already announced the match, so you got to make it happen now. I mean, card is always subject to change, right?
Yeah. And they kind of did that angle on Raw where they teased adding Cena and Styles, which I thought, okay, like maybe this is their way of taking him out and keeping him in and just adding people, so the real triple threat of the Shield will be a SummerSlam. So, but now that giving them time to build, you know, with Roman on TV to August, but the fact that they're not, I think they have something in store for when he comes back. I think that's part of the reason they kept him.
It's not going to be the championship.
No.
I don't see them putting the championship on him. Like at Battleground, I can see him losing that match and like kind of taking a step back from that title picture.
Yeah.
But SummerSlam is going to be all about Brock. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I can see that right now. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a Brock heavy. And SummerSlam is usually when they do a lot of the WWE 2K7, like the video game promotion. Like, that's when they really unveil gameplay, unveil a lot of characters. Like, they usually don't do anything at E3 because they usually save it for SummerSlam weekend. And guess who's on the cover of WWE 2K17?
Who?
Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
Guess he's going to be in the main event of SummerSlam. More than likely, it's probably a 90% chance this is going to happen. It's probably going to be Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
So, this is all cross-promotion. This ain't by accident.
Right.
So, that show is going to be geared toward Brock Lesnar and whatever he's doing. Especially if he wins at UFC 200, which is next weekend, by the way.
Yeah.
Next weekend.
It's coming.
Damn, that's pretty fast. Quick. That was fast.
It was. And I think maybe because WWE never mentioned it, mentioned it that first time.
Right.
And then it just kind of, I haven't really thought about it. And then I think this past week, you know, when Stephanie had that interview with Business Insider and then Brock had his conference call, I was like, whoa, like this is close.
Yeah, Stephanie saying that they won't, WWE's not going to promote it.
Right, which they haven't to this point.
Because if he loses, he loses credibility.
Yeah, which is that really going to hurt SummerSlam? I don't know. Like, if he loses, will that hurt SummerSlam?
I wish they would take that approach to their storylines. Well, I just thought about that. It's like, in real life, if a guy loses, yes, he could lose credibility. Why wouldn't you kind of apply that to some of the guys you have in WWE? Which they do with certain guys, but they don't do it with nearly, I don't think, enough.
No, and I think
because a lot of guys lose, and it's like you don't expect him to lose credibility when he loses too.
Right,
like
right,
and this is not like a real thing. Obviously, it's scripted, but still, people kind of suspend your disbelief to some extent. Heath Slater,
you invest yourself into those characters.
Heath Slater is not going to be a world champion. Why? Because he loses all the time. So just like there's still that aspect to it, that realism aspect to it, because he's never booked to win, so he has no credibility. You put the title on him, it hurts the title.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is how I found when The Miz won the IC title. That's how I looked at him.
Right.
I think they've done a good job, even though he's been off TV. His character is a little bit better than it was, so I could buy him as a champion now, even though he's only defended it once in the last 30 days. And that was against Kane.
That shouldn't even count. That was garbage.
Yeah. But to your point, you know, like, and she said this during her interview, they can control the story, but that doesn't always mean losing is the right option. You know, like, there's a reason why Brock Lesnar didn't lose in 2 years in WWE.
So. I don't understand. Like you said, they control it. So if you don't, if you want a guy to be a top star, maybe you shouldn't be losing matches left and right.
Yeah.
When he loses, it should mean something. Of course, nobody's going to be Goldberg and go 200-0. Even Steve Austin lost matches. But when he lost, typically those losses, you remember, they meant something. Mm-hmm. Some guys, they just lose for nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like...
You're always like, okay, what is this leading to? And sometimes it doesn't lead to anything. And you're just like, why? I try to give the benefit of the doubt. But when you understand and you see that, oh, he just lost because that's the way they booked it and they weren't really thinking long term, it's kind of like, come on. Like, where's the story?
In the meantime, you might hurt your guy's credibility.
Yeah.
You know, with everybody.
Full circle.
Whether it's us, who we know it's a work, obviously, and we're going to like who we like or cheer for who we cheer for anyway, because that's just how we are, because we understand it. But even with us, you book Heath Slater to lose 100 times in a row, we're not going to see him as world champion material. That's just how it is.
Yep.
It's how it's conditioned that way. I love Brock's response, though, because I've seen bits and pieces, but I never read it in full. And, I mean, you know, I don't really give a S. That's what his first sentence was. I wasn't going to... Come on now.
Nah, no. I don't, family friendly.
I don't really give a shoot.
Oh.
Straight shoot.
Ah.
This isn't about my fans. This is about me living my life, being the person that I want to be. Granted, without the fans and everything, none of us would be able to do this. I get that. But I don't sit up and at night wondering, is my drawing power going to be hurt? Or are my WWE fans going to tune in and watch me do this? Watch me do this. I don't give two shoots about that. This is about me. I want to get in there and be an athlete again. I like how you bolded that, Nick.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. And that's from, according to MMAfighting.com.
Yeah, right? That's where I got the transcript. And
all right.
I bolded
end
that.
Quote, well, by the way.
Yeah, I bolded that. I want to get in there and be an athlete again. You're going to have those wrestling fans that don't watch MMA, they're like, what do you mean by that? Like,
thank you.
What do you mean by that?
Thank you.
Maybe I have to put that.
Sound like Ole Anderson trying to do, what's it called? A Shockmaster.
Oh, good old Uncle Fred.
Yeah.
Who, by the way,
Uncle Fred.
All right. I got to bring this up. Don't ask me why. I was watching an old episode of Wrestling Challenge from 94. And Typhoon came back for like 1 or 2 months. I didn't even realize that. He beat Pierre from the Quebecers.
Typhoon.
It was crazy.
Wasn't he Earthquake?
No, it was Typhoon.
Uncle Fred. Yeah, Typhoon.
Yeah,
because
he went to WCW. And I was like, it's 94. So I went back and because my timelines were all messed up. It's just funny.
Yeah, Fred Ottman was Tugboat.
Yeah.
And he was Typhoon in Natural Disasters. And
he came back as a face. And I forget who was on commentary. It might have been Jim Ross or Gorilla Monsoon. They were like, look who's here. And everyone made a big deal about Typhoon's appearance. So I don't know. Typhoon. Too much Typhoon talk.
I never have enough Typhoon Shockmaster Tugboat talk.
True that.
Tugboat, baby.
But yeah, I want to get in there and be an athlete again. You know, we have so much respect for the pro wrestlers because of what they go through, and so many professional athletes do look at pro wrestlers as athletes too, you know, especially, you know, Lawrence Taylor, when we saw him get in the ring, you know, clearly he was retired. I mean, I'm not trying to bring that up, but how at the end of the match, he was like, but they are pro athletes. So, you know, does this mean like pro wrestling? Is he bored with it? Like, it seems like he's pretty bored with it at this point because when he re-signed with WWE, he did it probably because it would have been easier.
His storylines are virtually the same. They don't have any good stuff for him to do for the most part. I mean, his last couple of, not only a couple of feuds, but like since Undertaker, since the Hell in a Cell against Undertaker last year, right? He had the brief thing with the Wyatts at the Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah.
He was in the World Rumble. He had the brief thing to Wyatt. I really never turned anything.
No.
He had the Fastlane match where he didn't win. He wasn't pinned, but he didn't win.
Right.
He had a Dean Ambrose match where it really could have been way more than what it was, but it was, to me, a letdown. I don't think it was either one of the guys' fault. I don't think they got enough time. And I just think they just didn't have enough time to really do much. And it was just like, oh, it was just another match. So he probably was creatively bored.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it gets boring just suplexing guys all the time. You probably get bored just suplexing guys all the time and having the same, generally the same outcome. So maybe he was looking for a little bit of an outlet to you know, a challenge.
Yeah. You know, and this is it. Challenge. And he said this isn't exactly his last MMA fight either. So, I mean, I don't think he plans on this being his last one. At least he hasn't said publicly it is. He said, I think, when on ESPN, when it was announced that Mark Hunt was his opponent, that he wasn't planning on this being his last MMA match. So,
we shall see. July 9th, next weekend.
He's still under WWE contract, so it's just interesting.
8 days. So, this time next week, we'll be talking about that. Probably that entire. I wouldn't mind talking about that entire.
No, card. I wouldn't either. It's fixing to be card. One of the best. And
UFC 200. Cards. You got Brock versus Mark Hunt, but you also got on top of the card, which is the main event. Brock isn't the main event of UFC 200. Yeah. John Jones and Daniel Cormier, which is a huge like grudge match.
It is.
Two years in the making.
Yep.
So there's some more fights I don't remember but off the top of my head. But those are the top two that I can remember off the top of my head. And I'm going to be somewhere watching that show. So that's,
I'll be in South Jersey somewhere.
Right. And I'll be somewhere in Philly. I don't know where.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Be representing. Two states.
Straight shooter style.
Boom.
But I'll be watching that somewhere. But like back to our original point about the Reigns, Shield, you know, Rollins, Ambrose match. That's probably the reason why it's not happening at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Because it's the draft and you got Brock. That's the main attraction. And why put this second fiddle to whatever Brock is doing? This is worthy of a main event.
Exactly.
Don't make it second fiddle and make Battleground mean something.
Yeah. And there's not going to be very many people, if at all, that aren't going to watch SummerSlam because the Shield Triple Threat's not happening there.
Right. You
know? And they might have a rematch. Who knows? You know, it might be a stipulation
rematch. Even if they don't, you're still going to watch the damn show anyway.
Exactly. Because it's SummerSlam. And even if
Brock on the card, it's going to see probably a little bit of a bump because there's Brock, especially, again, if he wins next weekend.
Yeah.
And you'll see Brock there. So, I mean, sure, that'll be a nice showcase for them because you might have a bigger audience, but then you got your top stars, current stars, technically playing second fiddle. And in a huge match, by the way. This triple threat is huge. This is a WrestleMania-worthy match. And you're telling me that's not big enough to, you know, if that's a triple threat, if that triple threat, not Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins, I'm talking about Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose as a triple threat. That is a main event. That should not play second fiddle to any matches on any card. That's a main event. But you know at SummerSlam with Brock Lesnar, it's not going to be the main event. So don't make it second fiddle to the main event. Make it the main event. And it could happen at WrestleMania. But I think that, you know, that's obviously too far down the road. If all three guys were healthy back at WrestleMania, that probably would have been the main event. And on top of Brock's match, whatever he was doing. But I think SummerSlam, they'll say, hey, okay, we don't make you the main event of WrestleMania, but we'll give you SummerSlam. And that's a big event, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, Roman Reigns still in the match. I'm not surprised by that.
No.
I know some people were kind of upset. Like, oh, they should punish him. They're already punishing him. He got suspended 30 days.
Yeah.
You know? People saying he's on drugs. We don't know what the hell he did.
Yeah.
He might have just taken a bad supplement, for all we know. We don't know anything.
No.
He's getting suspended. It's his first violation, so take it easy. It's not like he's a habitual violator.
Right.
You know? First one, 30-day suspension. He's already embarrassed enough. He's going to... He's probably already received ridicule. He's probably got heat from the office, as they say, and already. He's probably going to get some repercussions when he comes back. The only reason why he's in this match is because it's already announced, and it's a big match that you probably won't be able to do anytime soon after that. So you got get it out the way, do it. People want to see it. Other than that, you'll have to probably take a back seat for a little while, buddy. Because this is bad. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the suspension is bad. But speaking of...
I think you said it perfectly.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I try to say things perfectly, you know. I try my best. Speaking of the World Championship, it's just the WWE Championship now, apparently.
Yeah.
Not the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Now... Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be two world championships. Let's not. You can jump. You can jump to that conclusion. You can jump. I know. I can see you jumping to that.
I already did.
You already did. Okay. So you've already jumped.
It was Monday when he was introduced. I was like, damn it.
If you want to do two pay-per-views a month, I guess it makes sense to have two world titles. But, man, I don't want two world titles. It doesn't make any sense. Like, boxing has, like, four heavyweight championships. Mm-hmm. Even if there are only two heavyweight championships, it dilutes the title. 30, 40 years ago, there was one world boxing champion. And you knew who that person was. It was Mike Tyson in the 80s. He was undisputed champion. Before they even had multiple promotions, it was Ali, Frazier, whoever, Foreman. One guy. Why? They just reunited the titles 3 years ago.
Yeah.
When, not even, because it happened late 2013. So we're looking at 2.5 years. Because it happened with TLC 2013. Yeah. That was in December. Mm-hmm. So literally looking at 2.5 years of a unified championship. And they're going to split it up again. Like, and after we had 11 years of it split, unified for two, let's split it up again. Hopefully, I'm hoping against hope that that doesn't happen.
But now that they took out, and Mauro Ronaldo last night on SmackDown called him the WWE heavyweight champion, but I'm going where that was just like a Freudian slip. I liked
what is called the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
I do too.
Because it's,
I do too.
The name itself, I like it. It's just like WWE champion. He's a champion of WWE.
Yeah.
That's
what good
it?
Is that?
Right. But WWE World Heavyweight Champion, especially when Brock had it too.
Yes.
It sounds really official. Yep. Like, you're not just you're the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Like, that feels official. That feels like that's your champion.
Yeah.
Now he's just WWE Champion. And I know that's the title that Steve Austin held. He was WWE Champion. The Rock, he was just WWE Champion. But to me, WWE, I know it's a lot to say, but WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That's what I was like. When they first said that, I was like, I can rock with that.
Yeah.
That sounds really official. It sounds like a real title to hold.
It does. It's like sport.
Right.
You know, like that. Like it makes it legit.
Right. It sounds really legit.
And, you know, I didn't mind it back then because it's what they did, whatever. But now, like, I have a different viewpoint to where one champion is so much better when they can go between both shows and then you have, you know, the secondary champions maybe, like, in line to face. Like, I love that idea because you make the title so much more important.
Right.
But, like, two championships, you play, one of them is always going to have to be second fiddle. When they split the title up in 2002, there wasn't one. They weren't ever
equal.
You know, like, the World Heavyweight Championship didn't become the main title until, I want to say,
like 2004, maybe?
Right before Batista won it. Like, that was the main title.
I remember,
you know?
When it was on Raw, it was on Raw for a while.
It was.
But I see your point. It was like the, for a main title, it was like the main title. Yeah. I would say when, like, Triple H had it, like, maybe like 2004 into, like, when he lost to Benoit. I think that's when
At
that point, 2003 into 2004 was like, it felt like the main championship.
WWE raised Benoit, so did I, apparently. And I'm thinking about that whole angle with Batista, which was great, and it was still one, but it really started when Benoit won the Royal Rumble and went to Raw.
Right, that's when it felt like, and yeah, exactly,
before
he was a SmackDown guy when he won it. Yep.
Yeah, and before that, you had Lesnar and Angle with the WWE title on SmackDown. That was the main title, so, you know,
plus the way Triple H had gotten it, they just handed it to
exactly.
him. So it took a while for to erase that stink from him just being handed the title.
And
so when Benoit got it, you're right.
And Shawn, you know, won it at Survivor Series, then Goldberg won it in 2003. It's kind of like, what is this? You know, like, Triple H just won it back eventually, you know?
Right.
And then finally when Benoit won it, it was kind of like, no, he was in the main events, you know?
Right.
So, I feel you.
But it's probably going to come back, man. And it sucks. I heard some people on other podcasts that they were talking about they should call, like, the Raw title, one the SmackDown title, and it's stupid because you can't go on the Today Show and say, here's the WWE Raw champion.
Dude,
that sounds
dumb. I'm 100% in agreement with you.
Yeah, here's the WWE SmackDown champion.
Yeah,
and people are gonna be like, what the hell is a SmackDown champion?
And I hated that when Batista, no. When Cena was drafted to Raw, and they had Batista and Cena on Raw for about a month.
Oh, and they had the SmackDown Championship, but that never came to be.
Yeah, and I was like, this sucks.
They never
did it, though.
They never actually made the SmackDown Championship.
Thank goodness, but just the thought of it, and when Teddy Long was like, SmackDown Champion.
Right, and then JBL won, it was like a Battle Royal or something like that, and then Batista came to SmackDown.
Yep.
He was like, oh, no.
Oh, well, we don't need you.
Here's a world champion. Your face, Batista.
Yeah, and... You know, just the thought of having like a title named after a TV show. That's what it is. I mean, they're brands, but at the same time, to me,
technically, NXT is a TV show that they have NXT, but NXT is like a mini company. It's like it's like we had the WWE Championship. It's called WWE Championship.
Yeah.
So NXT is like the initials of a company, even though it doesn't make any sense. But that's a little different too. It's not like it's not Raw or Smack. That's a word. Like NXT at least is initials.
Right.
And people will see initials as like, oh, that might be a company of some sort. Mm-hmm. It's not the next champion. It's the NXT champion. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And the NXT Women's Championship. The Raw. Yeah. Here's the Raw champion. Here's the Smack.
Not a fan of that.
Today Show, NBC, National TV. Right. Here's the SmackDown champion, AJ Styles. Here's the WWE Raw champion. Like, come on now.
And then you'll have the host be like, tell us, what is SmackDown?
Yeah, right.
Our show.
How do you become the Raw champion? Do you just eat raw meat every day? Like, what?
No.
They're not going to give a Raw championship out to the Cavaliers when they win the championship. Like,
You know? I like that analogy. Right. You're on the money with
Kevin Love.
That's the reason why they need to keep one title, because which title are you going to choose to give to the sports teams?
That's the reason.
That's exactly it. That's the reason.
Any reason, I'm taking.
That's right.
Because you can't. Come on. I mean, when that started, though, right? If I remember correctly, When I remember seeing athletes with title belts, when Rasheed Wallace and the Pistons won the title.
Yeah.
And he came out with the world title. And then, like, Freddie Mitchell had the world title when they won the NFC Championship. Like, wait a second. You got another win. You got another game to play. You're not a world champion yet.
Oh, man.
Freddie Mitchell.
Though they picked the right title. You know, it was the world heavyweight title.
Yeah, they didn't pick the WWE.
The good-looking one.
The big gold belt. Yeah. Even though, back then, they were still using the Undisputed title, and that was a great belt.
I agree.
That was a great belt. That was classic.
The first version they had was like really small, and I think when Brock beat Rock, or maybe when Rock, before Rock lost to Brock, they finally made it bigger.
They made it bigger? I don't remember it being small.
Yeah, I think when Hogan had it and Triple H had the first one.
Maybe they just made it look small because they were just big dudes.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I just remember noticing differences like when they introduced the new tag titles in 98, it was like they were way smaller than the old tag titles, and I hated that.
Really? Yeah. I don't remember them changing the tag titles in 98. I remember them being
the same belts. They were the same design, but they were just smaller. I don't like it.
Those tag titles
small enough to where I can notice the difference on TV. Probably not a lot.
I gotta look at that, because I remember them tag titles being huge, and they were great.
They were.
They were awesome.
Not the new ones, though, that they brought in 98 when they brought in the new Intercontinental title.
I hated that one.
Yeah.
That was small, and it was like an oval. It looked stupid. That was stupid. And it was, it was really small.
Yeah.
It was just dumb.
And, I mean, through the years, they made it bigger, but then once they brought back the classic
Intercontinental. Cody Rhodes brought it back. Yeah. I was like, yes. With the white strap,
That's why I miss
too.
Cody. Come back, Cody.
Yeah, with the white strap, too.
Yeah.
They need to change the colors of the strap. Didn't Ryback change the strap when he had it?
I don't remember that happening.
Why do I think Ryback changed the strap? I don't know.
That would have been cool, though.
It would have been cool.
No, Goldust had the gold strap.
So yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Like, why don't people change the strap to the title? Like, to the
Warriors
to the
yellow one was pretty sweet.
Right. Then he had a purple WWF title, I think, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I think he had a yellow WWF title, too.
He had a few, because I know he had a white one, too.
Come on, man. They changed the strap. Change the straps, people. Like, the New Day should have, like, powder blue straps for the tag titles.
They need to bring back the old ones.
Yes, they need.
That would be an amazing segment with them,
because
they would make it amazing. Just bring back the old ones.
The fact that they've held them longer than anybody. We'll go back to the...
Yes.
But the thing is that they're technically called the WWE tag titles, and those big ones...
Yeah,
with technically the world. WWE, why the hell did you just call him WWE? Why didn't you take the lineage?
I'm
going off right now.
Doesn't Xavier call them the WWE World Tag Team Champions?
Yeah, but they're technically just the WWE Tag Titles, and that lineage doesn't start until 2002 when they won SmackDown.
But how does that happen? Because didn't they unify them? Doesn't it?
Exactly. Why in the hell? But they only use the lineage
of
WWE.
Is that on their website?
Yes,
like,
they only use the lineage of the W because it's WWE. But even though the world ones were their belts, that was their belts way back.
Seriously.
They started those belts. Yeah. Like those are somebody else's. I can see those WCW's belts. Yeah. And it was like, but even then, they take the lineage of the US title from WCW. They take the lineage, they took the lineage from the Cruiserweight title. They got rid of the light heavyweight title and kept the Cruiserweight title from WCW. But yet, they kept the WWE tag title lineage from 2002. That's the reason why Paul London and Brian Kendrick are the longest reigning champs.
Yeah.
Because that's WWE titles. And the world titles with the Hart Foundation and even Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys and the British Bulldogs. Hell,
the great team.
Strike Force. Brian, where you at,
Brian?
Oh, man. You're Strike Force.
They won?
I'm pretty sure they were tag champions.
Okay.
I'm starting to think of some old 80s tag teams.
I just know Tito was an IC champion way back in the day.
The Dream Team was Valentine and Beefcake.
Oh, yeah. That's Dream right. Team. Yeah. That, like, way. Whoa.
Yeah, right. I didn't really way watch, back. That's the 80s.
Yeah. But I think they were.
Yeah, they were tag champions. Yeah. But of course, all those Drake tag teams from back in the day, they're not in this lineage.
LOD.
Right,
I think the Rockers even. Well,
no,
they're not recognized. They didn't recognize that. Okay,
no, not that. Yeah, they probably should, but they didn't technically recognize them. Demolition, of course. Yeah.
Money Inc. was really good. I've been watching some of their old matches, and they were like a really good tag team.
The Quebecers, the Smoking Guns.
Steiners had them.
Maybe
too.
That's the reason why they don't want to recognize that.
Yeah, it's like, you had the Steiners.
We got to recognize the Godwins too.
Yeah, but at least they never gave them the Techno Team 2000
and the Smoking Guns.
I liked it.
But then when the New Age Outlaws was coming out there, they were saying we were 6-time WWE Tag Team Champions of the World. And they were. Damn it, WWE.
They're throwing shade.
Screwing up your own lineage, man.
Seriously.
Pissing everybody off. Bring back those old tag team titles.
That's what I'm talking about.
Piss me off. I hate them so much. Oh.
With that world and red. Oh, man. Red
those
print.
Those were one of my, probably my favorite belt of all time.
Yeah, that was the first one I ever got. The first foam belt that I ever got.
Oh, the tag foam. Team title. Gotta have the foam.
Yep.
The foam belts. But those are so damn great.
Yeah.
Good time. Speaking of so damn great, let's shift gears again. To Japan. First off, WWE's in Japan, I believe.
They are in Japan.
And Shinsuke Nakamura is out there with them.
Yep.
So that's cool. But a Japanese guy is here, and he returned. Hideo Itami's back.
Yeah, man.
Finally.
Last night. Ugh.
It's been like a good year.
Yeah, I don't remember when he
got hurt,
out with
like,
the injury. But
he wasn't that beast in the East last year.
So that's right.
It's over a year.
Wow.
That he's been out.
Wow, that's right. He's
finally back.
He was at one of the takeovers, wasn't he? And I think
he was at
in the audience. I just can't remember.
Yeah, I want to say he was at Brooklyn.
Me too.
Last year.
Me too.
I think that's
or the
right.
One after. I just know they showed him, and you know, it's like, oh man, he's coming back soon. But no, like it never happened.
Yeah, but
don't know if it's because you know he. Was struggling rehabbing from his shoulder, right. But
it's good to finally have him back. So welcome back, Hideo.
He was my draft pick. One of my draft picks.
Oh, now it's finally coming through. It's like Dario Saric. He finally got him. He finally got him. He's finally coming over.
Yeah.
But welcome back, Hideo. NXT just got a little bit better because you're
it
around
did.
Now.
It did.
We missed him. And they need him. Not to say like they got no like nobody, but they could definitely use them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be interesting to see what they do with them, given that how they wrote him off was with him getting beat up by somebody, but they didn't really say who.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed like Kevin Owens walking by. It's like, oh, that's a shame. But they never said Kevin Owens did it. He said he didn't do it.
Right.
So it's interesting to see that. I don't think he's going up to the main roster to feud Kevin Owens, but and I don't know if Kevin Owens if they'll even. Tie that into the story. I don't think they will, because if they're going to keep an NXT, they're going to say somebody in NXT did it.
Yeah.
So, but that's going to be cool. So, welcome back.
Looking forward to that.
Welcome back, Hideo Itami. Back to Japan, though. There's a big tournament coming up.
Yeah, there is.
In Japan. And yeah, we're going to talk New Japan, guys. You know, we usually talk New Japan a lot. But again, we cobble together some subjects for this week. It's a holiday weekend. So, why not show some love to our friends over there in New Japan Pro Wrestling? And the G1 Climax, which is coming up, you said this looks at July 18th? It starts?
Yep. Monday.
Yep. Monday, July 18th. And the reason why we're talking about it now, because obviously that's like a couple weeks away, but they released the blocks for the G1 Climax. For those who don't know, there's probably some people out there, because I remember mentioning that Carl Anderson was in the G1 Climax final in 2012, and people were like, what the hell is that? And I'm like, damn, like, y'all don't... I figured that since Anderson and Gallows and Styles is coming over, and Balor's here now, and Nakamura, I figured some people would have probably looked into New Japan a little bit more.
And it's not like WWE hit it either. You know, they were like, hey, these guys came from Japan. So I get exactly what you're saying.
Right. So I figured some people might have did some Googling, you know, use the Google machine a little bit. But
Google.com.
Yeah. That's that what website. I use. That's a big website now.
Yeah.
Better than it's that Bing website.
Yeah. Bing.
But, Bing, psych. But, G1 Climax is a big, big tournament over there in Japan. Much better than the King of the Ring, unfortunately. much better than that. Round robin tournament, single round robin, I believe. And then eventually, I think the top guy from each block. What are the rules here? I forget the exact.
The top guy from each block meeting the championship, which will be August 14th, I'm assuming. Right. I know the last three shows will be.
And there's a point-based system. So if you get a win, it's like 2 points or 3 points, something like that. So it's like... like, if there's a World Cup and you got group stage, there's a group stage, and then the top two guys, top guy from each block meets at the final. And it's like a month long, as you see, it ends August 14th. Yeah. There's 19 shows over the course of that month. It's a grueling tournament in theory and in reality. Like, guys, it's legit, like, hard tournament to get through legitimately, because there are guys that suffer injuries during the tournament. Guys get banged up because, like you said, it's 19 shows over the course of a month. And it's not like... there are shows you can just take off and be like, oh, let's take it easy tonight. If these are all tournament matches, and there's a high, high standard of work in these matches. So the guys are going 100% every night. So, and this is obviously a little more of a physical style over there. So it's a crazy tournament. And the winner of the tournament gets a title shot at Wrestle Kingdom next year, which is New Japan's WrestleMania.
Yeah. They got a briefcase, much like Money in the Bank. Yep.
Right.
And they have to defend it too. That's not if they lose, they lose the briefcase too. So it's really a unique wrinkle that we don't see here in America.
Right. And it's a very prestigious tournament over there. It's treated like a sporting event. They get a trophy.
Yeah.
They always get trophies for stuff over there anyway. Mm-hmm. And big deal. Past winners of the G1 include Kazuchika Okada, Hiroshi Tanahashi. I believe Shinsuke Nakamura won it once in the past. Some other guys. You got names here, something like that?
Hiroki Goto.
Hiroki Goto. Yeah, there you go.
Toge Makabe.
That's
Makabe. All
right. Yeah, I haven't looked up my
Kojima.
G1 Climax winners in the past yet. So
yeah, there's a few. There's one.
I named two, a couple off the top
four,
of my head.
Five, six that have won the tournament already that are in it this year.
Right.
Oh, and I see Michael Elgin, one of the former Ring of Honor alums as the IWGP Intercontinental Champion right now. He's heading the B block. So,
right. So let's go through the blocks real fast. Let's go through Block A, which is headed up by the current IWGP Heavyweight Champion Okada, who I think should not be Heavyweight Champion. I still think Naito should be Heavyweight Champion because I thought Naito's doing good, but we'll get to Naito in a second. Okada won in 2012 and 2014 in the Climax. So he beat Carl Anderson in the 2012 final. So just so you know, like I said, this is a big heavyweight tournament over there. And Carl Anderson was in the final, which is not easy to do, just a couple years ago. And he was on Raw not that long ago, just getting his head kicked in by John Cena. So that's what I'm saying. Like, in order to be in the G1 final, you must be somebody. You're not just a lackey. That's all I'm saying. And that's how WWE kind of treating him right now. He's just a henchman right now.
Yeah.
But also in that block is Tanahashi, who won it last year. Is he going to actually be in the dog? I thought he was hurt.
He is, but he's listed as being in it.
We'll see. We also got... and Tanahashi is like the John Cena of Japan, by the way. He's like the biggest star. Okada is like... he's going to be probably a bigger star than Tanahashi. He's already got like a lot of his accolades, and he's not even 30 yet. He's not even 30. So
I don't know if it was you or if it was a conversation I was having with somebody else where they kind of compared Okada to The Rock as he was elevating to be Stone Cold Steve Austin's, like, you know, second when he got hurt. Like, he's The Rock over there.
Essentially.
For you Americans, You Americans.
You stupid Americans.
Happy 4th of July, everyone.
You stupid Americans. Yeah, we're talking about Japanese wrestling on a American holiday.
Hey, man.
But you also got...
the G1 climax.
That's true. Tomohiro Ishii on this. I'm good with these Japanese names, so let me
hear. You are. You really are.
I'm good.
But
he's also in the Block A. Hiroki Goto is a 2008 winner. He's in this side. Togi Makabe, 2009 winner, is in Block A. Satoshi Kojima, 2010 winner. That's a stacked block right there. You got a lot of former winners in there. You also got Bad Luck Fale, Tamatanga, who is Haku's son. He's in the Bullet Club. Bad Luck Fale is a co-founder of the Bullet Club, by the way. Mm-hmm. Him and Finn Balor, well, Prince Devitt back then, but Finn Balor, co-founder of the Bullet Club. Tonga's in the Bullet Club. You got Sonata, who I believe is in Los Ignorables. I think that's how you say it. He's in Naito's group.
I'm sure it is.
And you got Marufuji, who's a legend over there. In Block B, you got Michael Elgin, right? Mm-hmm. Who's done great things over there. Big, definitely over, and he's intercontinental champion. You got Katsuyori Shibata, who's I like Shibata. Like, if you watch Shibata, he's awesome. He's just like plain, like just black tights. He's just a wrestler. Like that's like his nickname, just like the wrestler. But he's awesome. And he had this crazy match at Wrestle Kingdom with... I want to say it was Ishii, and they were headbutting each other like for real in the skull, like just like ramming their heads together like rams. Like that was crazy, but the match itself was great, but that was just unreal. Like I lost my mind when I saw that. But Shibata is a guy, like he's a never open weight champion, probably should be intercontinental champion one day, probably should be probably a future heavyweight champion, but Shibata is a guy to look out for. Also in Block B, you got Tetsuya Naito, former IWGP heavyweight champion, I think the top heel right now in New Japan. And since he flipped heel, he's been much better, because when he's a babyface, people didn't like him. Let me tell you how Naito was like the Roman Reigns over there, right?
Ooh.
He was. And this is when he won the G1. It's when he won a G1, which means you get a title shot at Wrestle Kingdom the following year. And he was going against Tanahashi. Yes, he was going against Tanahashi, I want to say. No, he was going against Okada for the title. Tanahashi faced Nakamura for the Intercontinental Championship. So the fans got to vote on the main event. Do you want to see Okada versus Naito? Or do you want to see Tanahashi versus Nakamura in the main event? And they voted for the Intercontinental Championship.
Wow.
Because they didn't like Naito as a babyface. So and this is like 2013 into 2014.
WWE should do that.
And maybe they'll
make us vote.
Yeah, and actually like follow through and like see like, hey, maybe they don't bang with Naito like that.
Yeah,
because they still voted Tanahashi and Nakamura for the IC title in the main event. Main event that Tanahashi won, by the way. But eventually they flipped Naito heel, and that's when people started getting on his side. He's part of this group called Los Ignorables. I think I said it right.
I'm sure you did, man.
he plays this character where he just doesn't care about anything. Like, he won the title. The IWGP title, which is a beautiful title, by the way. Speaking of titles.
Yes, yeah.
But he took the title and just threw it in the air and let it hit the ground. He just threw it. He's like, all right, I won. And just threw it and it just bounced in the ring.
Oh, man. Like, sounds like my kind of guy.
Yeah, he was hysterical. He just didn't give a you-know-what. And he just
shoot.
Yeah, he win the belt and just throw it around, like whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, Tetsuya Naito, the man. Kenny Omega is in Block B. Another good guy. I don't know if you knew that him and Xavier Woods have had a feud on Twitter for a while about video games.
Man, I gotta keep up.
Yeah, and they actually played each other in Street Fighter at some game like tournament. Yeah.
Ooh.
Kenny Omega beat him too. Kenny Omega beat the crap. Well, he didn't beat the crap out of him, but he they're both really good. Kenny Omega
won.
He won
pretty
convincingly. But yeah. So Kenny Omega, I think the leader of the Bullet Club over there.
Yeah.
Yes, he is the leader of the Bullet Club. He's the cleaner, quote unquote, as they call him. Yuji Nagata, legend. Tomoaki Hanma.
I like it.
Who I think Hanma's the guy that never wins matches, and he actually won a title this year, which is funny. Evil, what was his name in Ring of Honor? He was in Ring of Honor. Watanabe. You remember Watanabe?
Was he there last year?
Yeah.
Then we saw him?
I'm pretty sure he did.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, he was in the Ring of
Honor. It's been a while. Whew.
just watched Nobby, but when he went back to Japan, he became evil. That's how I like to say it. Evil. Whoa.
Sorry, got a little carried away.
I see. Then you got Yano.
I do. Yoshi, I do know.
Yoshihashi. Yano. Yoshihashi and Nakajima. So that's your blocks for G1 Climax.
The general consensus when the blocks were released was like, wow. Like, it feels like it's stacked, but it's also, you're not having a guy like AJ Styles. You're not having Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke, yeah, not Shinsuke, so, Shinsuke.
So I said, by the way, I watched New Japan the other week. Jim Ross called him Shinsuke, so I didn't feel bad about it.
That's Jim Ross. He can do that if he wants. You're not remotely Jim Ross. Sorry, I love you, but you're not Jim Ross.
Damn it.
That boy, he's got a family.
All right, I'm better. But yeah, you talked about the rules, win for 2 points. There's a 30-minute time limit, so if you go for a draw, you get 1 point.
Yeah, like
and
hockey.
Obviously you get 0 points for a loss.
Yeah, it's like
double
hockey.
DQ, double count out.
Like hockey almost. You get the lineup here too. I don't
Yeah.
That's a lot of matches.
That took me about an hour.
I don't know why you did that. They go out, it's a single round robin. They're all gonna see each other.
That's fine, but like, you know, maybe I'll post this on our Twitter, take a picture of it, and it gives you the matches and the days. And actually, and this was courtesy of Wrestling Observer, so I'm not sure if it's true. But it might be when the blocks, they're not going to wrestle every night in the single tournament. So like the A block is on July 18th, and then they don't wrestle again until July 23rd.
Right.
So in the days then, they're still going to wrestle.
Six man tags. Yeah. Right. So that's
great. They don't have days off.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. They're doing like six man multi man tags. Yeah. So like I said, it's a brutal tournament.
It's legitimate.
And they're not like flying. I don't think they're flying from venue to venue. Probably taking buses from venue to venue and stuff like that. So it's a tour, and it's a grueling tournament. But it's produced some of the best. It will produce some of the best wrestling you'll see all year. So if you don't have New Japan World, I would suggest you subscribe to it. It's only last time I don't know. I you got a different price here. Last time I subscribed to it, which was back in January for Wrestle Kingdom, it came up to $833 American dollars.
All
right. So now you say it's $970.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. I mean, maybe the price.
I mean, that's what I saw, but
I know $8.33 came out of my bank account. Well, that's what it came out for me.
It seems like it'll be well worth it.
Yeah, it will be, because you get all these shows for that, and also. Make sure if you are going to purchase it, if you are taking my advice to purchase New Japan World, make sure you contact your bank and tell them that you want to make an international purchase.
Yep.
Because that purchase will not go through if you don't tell your bank that you do want to make an international purchase. Because they're going to be like, what the hell? Who's buying something from Japan? Or who's buying something Japanese? Like,
weirdos.
If you're in America and I got Citizens Bank, if you got Bank of America, whatever, call your bank and let them know. I want to make an international purchase before you try to do this, because it would not go through. So just take my advice, because I missed like the first 5 minutes of Wrestle Kingdom because of that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Even if you're a member of a credit union, because I'm a member as well, and I can attest to that. Just because you're a member of a credit union doesn't mean you're not going to get, blocked
right
like that. You got to let them know.
Right. So just take heed to that advice.
That's what I'll do.
So we got a couple minutes left here. What else can we talk about? We can talk about... I think that's pretty much it, right? I mean,
all episodes of Nitro are up on the WWE Network. You'll see the real rise and fall of WCW.
Speaking
in
of
real
the,
time,
the network. Why aren't they like adding the episodes of Camp WWE and like WWE Road Trip? Like, where is that stuff?
I don't know. I've been waiting for it.
Like, I know they're putting up Unfiltered now, but that don't mean you can't put stuff up other nights. Like, they just like they focus on like one show at a time. Like, they put all the promotion behind, and that's when they add it. But it's like, where's Camp WWE? Like, they put up 4 episodes and that's it. I know they made more than 4.
Yep.
Road Trip, I know they made more than like 3 episodes. Like, where are they? Like, come on, WWE. I understand, like, there's a lot going on, but this stuff is not being filmed real time. Just, you probably already have it in the can. Just put it up.
Yeah. How long is it going to take?
All right. So
5 minutes.
Stop showing ads of Holy Foley, because that's going to be probably not that good. Oh, I'm not looking forward to that.
No? Mm. Me neither.
I don't like this. I don't have anything to add. The staged to that. Reality shows.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
So, but we are looking forward to Cruiserweight Classic.
Yes.
That's something I'm looking forward to. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah.
So that's.
We'll be watching closely. Yeah.
That's going to start
and we'll talk about that every week.
Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. The 13th. Yeah. July 13th. Like a few days before the G1 Climax starts. So it'll be a busy summer, wrestling wise.
Yeah. Yeah, Cruiserweight Classic and the G1 Climax, two big tournaments. Speaking of Cruiserweight Classic, I will have another interview with Drew Gulak coming up.
Yeah.
Through WWE this time. The last time I went straight to the source, see?
Right.
And I did this real in-depth story, and, you know, him and Rory, his brother, and talked about the past, and them, you know, all this stuff, real in-depth feature. Even talked to them in person. Apparently, WWE didn't read that. Because they hit me up and they was like, hey, did you know? I was like, yes, I do. You want to interview him? Like, yeah, let's do it. they have no idea we went to high school together. They have no idea.
Oh, man.
Like, they probably Googling his name. It's like, oh, Drew Gulak. Oh, he already wrote a story, did he? Oh, well.
Oh, well. Do it again.
Oh, I'm going to do it again. I could ask him about what it was like being in Orlando for that. So,
yeah.
You got that. We got Ring of Honor coming up in 15 days, July 16th.
We'll be in Philly filming some TV episodes.
That's going to be a long night.
Yeah,
it's going to be a long night.
I'll actually, ahead of that, I'll be interviewing Donovan Dijak from Ring of Honor.
I think it's Dijak, actually.
Oh, man. Can't use that.
Too late.
Oh, well. So. Oh, that's it. I'm done for.
You got Donovan Dijak, though.
Yeah.
I like Donovan Dijak.
Me too.
He reminds me of Wade Barrett.
I just don't like his name, apparently.
Well, you can like it now. I mean, you know, don't say that. Don't say you don't like it.
I said I do.
All right. Well, you got Donovan Dijak.
Yeah.
I got Adam Cole, who is from Lancaster, PA. So he's essentially a local guy.
Yeah.
Trained at CZW. That's local.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, big things coming up, people.
I've watched him in CZW.
I didn't. I did not. I've watched him in Ring of Honor. And he's in the Bullet Club now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He is.
Him and Adam Page. Adam Page, I don't know, whatever. But Adam Cole, yeah. Pretty soon, I'm going to be in the Bullet Club soon. Everybody's in the Bullet Club.
Hey, man. And I'm in just by association. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Do the Bullet Club sign everywhere.
You could be the Scott Norton of the Bullet Club. Was Scott Norton in the Bullet Club? Not in the Bullet Club, the NWO?
Yeah.
And I'll be, I wouldn't say Virgil, because that'd be racist, right? Plus, Virgil sucked. It was Vincent. Ugh. Vincent sucked. I wouldn't want to be Vincent.
Stevie Ray was in there.
I'll be big Stevie Ray.
Booker T was never in there until WWE.
Right, that was stupid. He would have been better. Yeah. He was there for like a hot second.
Yeah.
That was dumb anyway. But, yeah, I'll be big Stevie Ray. Because, you know, obviously the leaders of the group are the actual wrestlers, so we got to be like the background guys. And I don't want to be
I'm
Vincent.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You'll be Scott Norton. Or you'll be Buff.
Carry their bags.
You can be Buff Bagwell if you want.
I'm down with that. Although,
you got a lot of ladies back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. I got to think about it.
I'd imagine big Stevie Ray did, too. They ain't calling big for nothing.
What? Oh, what are you talking about, man?
Oh, no.
I love Taylor, man.
Big Stevie
That's
Ray.
Awesome. That's awesome.
By the way, did you see the Wrestle a Band trend, hashtag on Twitter?
No. Yeah. Yeah, you were having fun with that.
Oh, it was awesome. I'm going to show you some of the
that was
great ones
tired.
I came up with. Oh, I was really good with this. Taylor,
where's this
in.
From?
I don't know
at
where
midnight?
This is. This was like, I don't know where this is from, but I just came up with a bunch of them.
These weird trends.
But Taylor, chime in on these, because it's like, it's wrestle a band. So you like include like a wrestler into a band name or like a musician name.
Okay.
So, I mean, obvious one was like Miz Khalifa. Like, to me, that's easy.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But then I came up with five heartbeats, like Heart, like Bret Hart. You ever see the five heartbeats?
No.
No?
I don't trust Nick on this at all.
Somebody came up with Fleetwood Mac Man.
I like that's that. Good. Yeah, that's I like that, that one.
I came up Pretty Ricky Martel. You heard of Pretty Ricky?
Yeah.
Probably.
Nick? No? Okay.
Jesus. I said probably.
D'Angelo Mosca. Angelo Mosca. No. You don't remember Angelo? He's from the 70s. That's probably not like a known one, but I said D'Angelo, like the singer D'Angelo. D'Angelo Mosca. Bay-Z, like Bailey.
So oh, that's a stretch.
Somebody came up with Silk the Shockmaster. That was good. And they made a cover of, they made a fake Silk the Shocker cover. With, oh, they put, man, like the Shockmaster's mask over Silk the Shocker's face.
Yeah, retweet that or send
it to me. I'll send it to you. I came up with Gorillaz Monsoon.
I like that. I saw that one, yeah.
Gorillaz Monsoon. Blackstreet Posse. let me see. Remember the group En Vogue?
Yeah.
Okay, En Brogue Kick. Salt and Pepper Park. Salt and Pepper Parks. Then I just did Sting. Just Sting. Sami Zayn Malik. Right? Color me Johnny B. Bad.
I like that. Yep.
Somebody came up with Jim Ross and the Supremes, which is genius. Like, okay. I don't know how I didn't think of that.
Okay.
I'm like, damn, I should have had that. That's the Motown group. Damn it, I'm black. I should have got that one. So my New Day Edition.
Okay.
I came up with P.S. Isaac Hayes.
Okay.
See that? Like that. Slick James. The Notorious 1-2-3.
Okay.
Yeah, I was good. The Ghetto Deli Boys. New Jack Edition.
Okay.
Puff Daddy and the Wired Family. Rick the Designer Martel. I was trying, man. I was going with it, and I think that's it. That's the last one. Yeah.
This is pretty good.
There was so many of them. So many good ones.
There is. Good job by you.
Thank you. It was me.
Was that trending? Like,
yeah, it was trending. Man,
how did I miss
Blue that? Meanie had like a million of them. X-Pac had like a million of them. Like,
I didn't know it was like trending.
Oh, it was.
But
so
I should
many.
Have known because I saw a few of yours. But
yeah, it was so.
It
many.
Was after the fact.
Yeah, it was great. Like we was, it was a Jesus Zoidberg on Twitter. You know that guy?
Yeah, yeah.
He was doing a lot of them too. Yeah. It was fun.
Shout out. Hopefully he listens to us.
I believe he does. Yeah, I hope
he's
so.
A good wrestling fan.
Yeah, yeah. We comment. We. You know, yeah. Interact all the time. Yep. I don't know if it's Jesus or Jesus. With Jesus, Zoidberg, whatever.
How about this Zoid?
Zoid.
Till Zoidberg. Till he tells us.
He knows what's talking about him.
Yeah,
he does. Zoidberg. I'm calling him Jesus Zoidberg. Just like, what was it? He Got Game, and it was like, my name is Jesus. Like, I'm not calling you Jesus. Your name is Jesus. He's like, but my name is Jesus Shuttlesworth. Remember, Jesus Shuttlesworth. He's That's like, funny. Nope, Jesus. I am not calling you Jesus.
Oh, man.
All right, well, I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
We got to do hashtags.
That was good. That was, yeah. You know, we got to come up with something like that.
We should.
For sure, like hashtags. We should. Just bite off the Tonight Show or whatever.
Yeah.
At midnight, whatever. I know they do it.
Yeah, they're usually good, too.
Give us something to discuss.
Yeah, so speaking of discuss, where can they discuss stuff with us, Nick?
On Twitter, at Shooters Radio. And you can follow me at Nick Pacone. Also, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheStraightShooters. I will upload a picture of all the round robin matches of the G1 Climax. So you'll be able to find that on our social media account. I don't know. What else do I got?
Well, we're on iTunes, by the way.
Yeah, that's your game.
Yeah, that's my thing. iTunes, you can subscribe to us on there. We would appreciate it if you did. You can rate and review us as well. Leave a nice review. I mean, I haven't checked that in a while. Let me check that right now and see if people actually hit us up on there by any chance. I mean, I'm pretty sure that we got somebody that rated us or reviewed us by now, right?
You would think.
I mean, there's no guarantees or anything. I don't know if I can even check that from my phone.
I don't either.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I can.
Oh, well.
Damn it, Taylor.
Yes.
It's not my fault. It's Apple's fault. I can't, if I subscribe to it, I can't check the reviews or anything like that, which is stupid. But we're on there, guys. And if you would be so kind to rate and review us, we would appreciate it. And, yeah, what else do I usually talk about? Oh, my Twitter, at Vaughn M. Johnson. What are you doing? What are you doing there?
I'm going to send us out on a high note.
All right.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. Well, you going to play Dusty Rhodes theme song or something?
No, same.
That would be appropriate. But
I was going to do Kurt Angle again, but now that you got me.
All right. Well, we'll send you out on Dusty Rhodes' theme song, American Dream Daddy, the American Dream Dusty Rhodes Daddy. And for Nick Bacone, I'm Vaughn Johnson. For Taylor, our producer as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again next week on the Straight Shooters.
He's just a common man, working hard with his hands.
You've been listening to the Straight Shooters on Wildfire Radio. For advertising opportunities, contact Nick Picone via email at PiconeNick@gmail.com or call 856-625-1190.